Don't you wish those guys could get excited when they sing? Man, I get excited just listening to them. And then I try to sing with Joe Down in the Valley. Wow. Joe used to be in my choir in Jacksonville, Illinois. And I tried to sing bass with him. So when he sang, I mouthed the words. Worked pretty good back then. Amen. Is everybody happy today? Is everybody warmer today? Wow, it got cold. The parking lot was a sheet of ice, and I apologize to those of you who didn't find out about Thursday being canceled. I didn't find out until about 10 o'clock and started calling who I could. And so if you didn't get called, that's on me. But if it's icy, guys, don't come to church on Thursdays if you're about my age or older. Dangerous. I got out of the car that afternoon and had parked in my usual place, and I took one step and I fell back into my car. That's how dangerous it was. So I pulled right up against the building, and there's just not that many spots up against the building. So, you know, there are timeless things. There are eternal things. There are things that never change. Isn't that comforting? They're reliable. They're rock steady. And the greatest of those things that never change is God. God never changes. Somebody say that with me. God never changes. The Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. One rock solid thing we can rest upon is He doesn't change no matter what else is going on. And neither do His purposes change. God has the same purpose today He had when He made the world, to have a relationship with man. And He does everything He can to make that happen. He always works to redeem mankind. That means take away their sin and give them righteousness, to trade their sin for His glory. He always seeks to conform us to the image of His Son. That will never change. That's His end game. That's His goal. He always wants men and women to be holy. He's not satisfied with anything less. That never changes, because that's who He is, and that's who we're becoming. Neither do the enemies of mankind ever change. We're fighting the same enemies this morning that they fought in the Garden of Eden. The same enemies they fought when Jesus walked this earth. They'll always be the same. Always have, always will. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And sometimes we put them in that order. The world is going wrong around us, and that's the problem. That's only part of the problem. And the devil's out to sink us. We know that, and that's only part of the problem. The biggest problem of the three is our flesh. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's the enemy, and we have to crucify that flesh every day to know Jesus Christ and live for Him. Those enemies conspire to keep us from fulfilling that purpose that God had in mind from the beginning. They conspire to help us fail when God conspires, if you will, with us to help us succeed. We're in a war every moment of our life. And it's a war that's been won. If you read the back of the book, we won. But that's what's going on. One more thing that'll never change. When you think about God who never changes and the enemies who never change, here's the good news the Bible teaches. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. You know what that means? That means no matter how bad those enemies are and how long they've worked at their job, God is greater. He never changes, and He always wins. But listen, you and I know that times, they are a-changing. That's an old song from my generation. You see, governments change. Laws change, sometimes for the bad and not for the good. The culture around us changes. The weather certainly changes. Our health changes. Our families change. And yes, people are changing. and not always for the good. The older we get, here's another timeless truth, the older we get, the more we resist change. How many of you can agree with that? You know what? It's harder and harder for me to make changes. When I was young, man, I would embrace almost any change, but now it's a little more difficult because I'm set in my ways, and they don't change much. It has to take God speaking into my ear almost for me to want to make a change anymore. That's not always good, but sadly, that's too often true. We even resist changes that are good for us. We say we're flexible, but you know what? We're not. If you believe you're flexible, try changing doctors after you've had one for 30 years and he died. And now you got to find a new whippersnapper that he's still 12. And he's still practicing because he hasn't got it right yet. He's a practicing physician. And all of a sudden, that change upsets your whole way of thinking because your old doctor knew you. But this doctor doesn't know much. That's a change that's hard to embrace. Or how about when your doctor says, there's a new medicine on the market, I want you to try it. Really? I've been taking this medicine for 32 years, and you're going to come along with something new, how do I know it won't kill me? And you start resisting the change, even though the doctor says it'll do you good. But wait a minute, you're not my old doctor. He knew it was good for me. He's not around anymore. You know what else we resist changing? We have to move. Sometimes we have to move to a different kind of house, like assisted living. Or some of us have had to move to a hospital for a time or a nursing home for a time, and we resist that. I don't want to go, we say, like a child almost. We resist those changes. A new family addition, a new job, though exciting, they cause us tremendous internal upheaval simply because each of these are a change. In fact, the powers that be tell us you have 3 or 4 major changes in your life and you're setting yourself up for a heart attack. You can't set yourself up for a heart attack when everything's happening that you had nothing to do with. You had a birthday, you had an anniversary, and you moved. Guess what? You're a candidate for a heart attack. Gee whiz, who isn't then? Everybody has those changes. Over the life of our church, there have been some changes. How many of you have been here since the beginning? Way back when? Even before me? I've only been here 16 years. Some of you have been here much longer. Would you say there's been a few changes going on around here? We're in a different location. There's a whole lot of different faces. There's a whole lot of different ministries. And we're even trying a whole lot of new methods. Concerts? In the church? Baseball teams outside? What in the world's going on? What's going on is change. Some are good and some are not so good. But they're changes. And they're difficult for us to deal with. But many of those changes that we've seen over the last few years have helped us fulfill our vision, which is on the wall. And we see it coming to life in front of us. We say, that was our vision, but gee, we didn't know it looked like this. But it's a change we said we wanted. But were we willing to change? Some of those changes were eagerly embraced. Others took a little getting used to. And you know, some of those changes just never took. We tried it, it didn't work. We said, well, that change isn't it. Change is necessary, but not always welcome. We can always rely on the unchangeable nature of our God. No matter what is changing, good or bad, God never changes. But that unchanging God changes us. It's his desire that we change. And be what? Conformed to the image of his Son. Listen to what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul speaking. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that means a believer, that means you and me, if we're born again, if we're saved, if we're part of God's family, if anyone is in Christ, watch this, the new creation, that means a change, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. Do you understand? A transformation took place when you got born again. The old you died, and you're the new you if you got saved. What a marvelous, marvelous verse. If you could just wrap your mind around what this verse means, you can embrace any new thing, any new place, any new method, just as long as it works for the accomplishment of God's plan. Amen? Or oh me. We don't like change. Where some of us are sitting, maybe not like this physically, but like this inside. Are you telling me I got to change, preacher? I had to. We all have to if we want to look like Jesus. We have got to be willing to get out of what's called our comfort zone and try something different if what's different will make it happen. We really need to believe when the Bible speaks, it's real. When it says, God works, watch this, all things together for good. To who? To those who love Him and are the called according to His purposes. That's the church. That's believers. He changes things for our good and for His purpose. Once they say there was a tiny green caterpillar. You've seen them. They're horrendous. They're ugly. At first they're cute, and then you realize all they do is eat. And they live their existence from one leaf to another. They spend their time blending in with the surroundings, so no predator will get them while they're eating their leaves. And this tiny little green caterpillar lived out his life, one green leaf after another. He ate all day, and he slept all night, curled up in a little ball of safety. You've seen how they curl up, hiding from the nighttime predators. Well, one day, that little green caterpillar starts spinning a cocoon for himself. You know what that is? That's where he's going to crawl in and die. He spins this cocoon, wrapping himself in a death shroud. But he's content because his purpose was to eat leaves, spin a cocoon, and die. That's it. He fulfilled his purpose. But something miraculous happens in the cocoon. Unbeknownst to him, I don't think he knew going in that something was going to change when he lay down to die. But he's wrapped up in this cocoon and feels these changes going on. His whole nature was changing. His body was changing. Whoops, he grew wings. What's that? He never needed wings before. His whole purpose was redefined from being a devourer of green plants to a pollinator of flowers, from a destroyer to a creator. Everything is going to become new. All in that cocoon. And the most glorious time is when he emerges. And I imagine if he was like a human being and he had a mirror, he'd look at himself and say, "Who dat? That didn't look like me." He's completely different from a little tiny green worm to a majestic butterfly. It's incredible. Now, I could have used the illustration of a moth, but I don't think that would have worked. You get me? He's beautiful, and he's completely new, and he has another purpose now, and he glorifies God in that purpose. Now, I know a caterpillar has no ability to understand why that happens, nor do they know how that happens. I'm not sure scientists have figured it all out. Maybe he couldn't even believe he was the same. Maybe he's starting to believe in reincarnation or something. I don't know. But what I do know is the one thing he knew was he could fly, and he never could before. The old had passed away, and everything was made new. He didn't eat leaves anymore. I guess they turned his stomach. Instead of blending in, he was flying so everybody could see. He wasn't hiding anymore. In fact, the more he was out in the sunshine, the more he liked it. No longer a hider, but now going from one plant to another, one flower to another, just doing his thing. Majestic and beautiful, creator of life, no longer destroyer. Yeah. kind of like a lost man who gets saved. The old passed away, the new has come. Instead of living his life destroying himself, he lives his life to try to bring others to the Creator God. That's the difference between a lost and a saved man, too. A lost man realizes he can't do anything but get in his coffin and die. But a saved man realizes he can fly. He can soar like an eagle. He can do anything God asks him to do. Because the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So which are you today? A caterpillar or a butterfly? Because you're one or the other. You can't be both. And you can't be something in between. You see, lost men embrace the greatest change there ever is, turning from death to life. That's what happened to the butterfly. That's what happens to us the moment we become a believer. Because that butterfly, which was a worm, rose and flew, as must you. We come to a place where we die and we're born again. Jesus said, like a kernel of corn or wheat is buried, it can't bring forth life until it's dead. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, and until we come to the end of our self, our thinking, our feeling, our doing, and say, I am dead to this sin and alive unto God, we're not born again. But boy, when we do, you get a new set of glasses. Everything looks different. What used to be boring is now exciting. You know, I remember a fear I had before I got saved. I was afraid I'd lose all my friends. Anybody ever feel like you might lose your friends if you got saved? Well, you know what? I did. I lost most of my friends. I think all of my friends before I was saved. I don't have one friend who was my friend before who's still my friend. I have one friend who was my friend but now rarely talks to me. I visited him, but we have nothing in common anymore. Instead of worrying about losing those friends, though, I found out something unique happens to a believer. I got born again into a family. I don't have friends anymore. I have families. A family of believers who, like me, gave up everything that they might know Jesus. And now they're brothers and sisters. And some of them are you. You're a whole lot better than my friends. You try to hold me on the straight and narrow. You try to hold me accountable. You don't say, come on, let's go do this bad thing. You say, don't do that bad thing anymore. What a difference when it's family as opposed to friends. When you get saved, yes, you lose your friends, but you get something so much more. Well, I remember another fear I had about getting saved. I thought, I know, and some of you felt that way at one time. I'm going to have to give up all my fun. Some of the things I really enjoy doing. I know how those Christians are. They won't let me have that kind of fun. Well, I guess I did give up all that fun because I made some changes. And now I have more fun than I ever had before. I mean, I'm having fun right now. You might not be, but I am. I have fun talking about Jesus. I have fun witnessing to Him and about Him. I have fun loving people before it was a chore. The difference is, my fun has changed, and it's a glorious fun. Yeah, I lost my friends, and I lost my old fun. But I have a new nature, and what were friends to me now are death. What was fun to me then was death because of family. My habits have changed along the way. I've made many changes. I had to give up this, I had to give up that, only because I wanted to glorify God. My job changed from an engineer to a mission pastor. My relationships have changed. My sources of pleasure have changed. Even my appearance has changed. Boy, do I look good. I heard that laugh. I heard that. But I look in the mirror and I no longer look in the mirror and have to look away. I look in the mirror and I'm happy with what I see. Not because of the gray and losing hair. Not because of how I'm getting old. I look at that and I see a man who loves Jesus. And I look at that and say, thank you, God. That's a change worth making. What do you see when you look in the mirror? Do you see a worm or do you see a butterfly? Well, I'm beginning to see a butterfly. And oh, I like to fly. You see, we've got to adopt an attitude that change is beneficial when the change is for the glory of God. Not all change is good, but when it's for the glory of God, it's great. You know, we know some changes are difficult to adjust to. For example, when I hit 60, I was going 90. When I hit 70, I started going 35. You feel me? You're not getting that illustration at all. I mean, I was hustling and bustling back when I was 60, and something in 10 years, something happened where I'm going half speed, and I'm thinking, I walk a lot slower than I used to walk. I don't talk any slower, though. I still talk fast. See, that was a change that still takes some getting used to. Getting up in the morning going, oh, ow, ooh, that's not a good change. But it's a necessary change. It's part of life. Takes some getting used to, though. It isn't all bad. Now some people listen to me who never would. They look at me and they say, well, that gray-haired old man must know something. They never used to think that when I was 35. See the difference? Some change to you looks bad, but has a good effect. It isn't all bad. I get a discount on food, but I can't eat as much as I used to. I get a discount going to the movies. That's because I fall asleep in them half the time. I deserve that discount. See, things do change, and even as you get older, there's some benefits in it. All change isn't bad if it brings God glory. Just ask that caterpillar. You think he's grieving over the loss of his leaf-eating days? No, he's reveling in the days that he soars. I don't eat as much as I used to. Thank God it's cheaper. I don't go to as many movies as I used to because I'd just as soon sleep at home than pay $8.50 to get that sleep. Really, I would. Or wait till it comes out on TV. I could sleep in front of my TV just as easily for half the price. This year, 2017, we might see some even greater changes. You'd think it was a change from one spot to another. What about when we move into that wing of our building, into a different kind of sanctuary than this? What about that change that's going to take place where we have a foyer to fellowship with water fountains on either side and a room for coffee? Don't have to eat in the hall with our coffee and donuts. There could be some big changes, and I think they're all going to be good changes. And you know one of the big things about that change is more people will come when the building is done than while it's being built. That's just a fact of life. They're afraid to come when the building's being built because they may have to pay for the building. But once it's built, they don't realize they're still going to have to pay for the building because it's still going to take some money, even after it's built. If we're obedient, it won't be long before we're in that brand new worship service and worship center. Our school may grow very dramatically when the laws change on where you give your taxes. It's called school choice. And when that happens, people are going to say, you know what, I don't need to go to the public schools. I'll go to a private school. And I don't know if we're even ready for that kind of change. With growth is going to come many new faces. You think it's hard to remember everybody now? We're going to have to get a deck of cards to see who's that person that sits over there on the left. I don't know. Do you know? I don't know. Have they been coming along? Yeah, they've been coming for 3 years. Well, how come you don't know them? Because we're resisting change. God has something in each life to give to you. Get to know your family. But there's going to be more new faces. And there's going to be changes in how you relate to them because they're not going to come with the same background you have. And learning how to relate to people of different backgrounds is incredibly good. I never used to be much of a sports car fan. I could not see the joy in watching a car go in a circle and make a loud noise. And yet there's a culture, a subculture there that love racing. And when you hear them talk with that kind of passion, you get just caught up in it. And you start saying, wow, what was I missing that I didn't get before? And there's a whole lot of sermon illustrations, by the way, in racing that I can't even use until I get a racing crowd here. A lot of changes are going to take place in 2017. You got to get ready for them. But the good news is, in spite of what's going on around you, God never changes. and His purposes don't, and His love doesn't. His mercies are always new. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Remember the Titans. It's a kind of a Christian movie about a football team with Denzel Washington as the leader in a racially troubled town when half his players were black and half were white. And he was a black coach and nobody liked him. And his job was to try to bring these guys together and form a winning team. I was going to show the clip, but it turned out as I looked at the clip, it would have been lost on you what was really going on unless you saw more of the movie. Here you're looking at all these guys are working out at a camp, and they're rolling on the ground back and forth, and he's walking down the midst of them. And here was his inspiring speech. He said, as he stood among or walked among those players, he tells them, "We're going to change the way we work." He says, "We're going to change the way we eat. We're going to change the way we block. We're going to change the way we tackle. We're going to change the way we win." And they did. They pulled together throughout this movie and affected an entire community that was racially torn. They changed the way the people felt about each other. Some changes are long overdue. I'm not talking about the way you eat, but hey, if the pants don't fit, go on a diet. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about we need to change the way we witness. Because just shouting the four spiritual laws and beating them over the head with the Bible isn't working anymore. You got to show them Jesus, not tell them about Jesus. You got to love them when they're not lovable. That's what Jesus did, by the way. We have to go back to the way that it worked, not the way that we've become workers. We've got to be Jesus to the world because they need to see Him. And they're not seeing Him when we hide in our sanctuaries, the place of peace where we get fed or we get fed up and leave, and nobody is changing. They need to see that Christ still changes lives by watching your life change in front of them, because you're the salt of the world and you got to make them thirsty. We got to change some things because the world's changing. But our message can't change. Our methods may have to. Maybe it's time the church comes out of her cocoon and gets ready to fly, if you catch my drift. We need to be more bold, more beautiful, and create more than we destroy. Do you realize the church does more in tearing people down than building them up? We now have gotten to this point where I got saved and you need it more than I did. You're worse than I was. You're a rotten, no good, low down, filthy sinner. They don't need to hear that because they already know it. What they need to know is that Jesus loved them enough to die for them just like He died for you. And help them to get in the cocoon, go through the transformation, and come out a butterfly. That's what they need. 2017, I think, is going to be a breakout year for us. But you're going to have to expect a few unsettling changes. And you're going to have to embrace them as long as they don't go against the message. As long as they don't go against the core values. Don't let them change that. But if it's just changing your comfort zone, so you have to do something a little different than you did before, that's what you change. Maybe God's asking you to make some changes today, changing the way you think or what you feel. Maybe it's time today for you to change from crawling to flying. Maybe it's time to lay down some things and pick up something new. Maybe it's time for the old to pass away and behold, all things become new. And this, so the altar is where you bring your cocoon. You come and lay your life, a living sacrifice before God. You die to self. You reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to God. You say, "Lord, I come and lay it all on the altar. I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me, a sinner. Make me new. Come into my life and give me your life." Here's the great mystery of the Bible: Christ in you, the hope of glory. And until you have Christ in you, you're still a worm. But once you do, no matter how, whether you're a moth or a butterfly, you can fly. No matter what you look like on the outside, you've got Christ on the inside. But you have to make that choice. He will not force it upon us. By the way, just because you put yourself into a place where all the butterflies and moths fly, you could still be just a little caterpillar crawling around eating leaves. Which would you have it be? The altar is where you bring your cocoon. I imagine for that caterpillar, the changes weren't particularly pleasant. It didn't lay there and said, oh, that feels good. I'm growing a wing. It was probably extremely painful. It was like dying, and maybe 10 times worse. But it was necessary, and it certainly was productive. So my invitation is for you to come change your life. Lay down your old and pick up the new. Now, what about you who are Christians? You know you're Christians. You know you're a butterfly, but you got like a wing broken, and you don't know why you're not flying. Well, the place for you to be is at the altar, too. Say, Lord, I want to soar. Lord, I want to soar. I want to be like Jesus. So the invitation is for you to come as well. In just a moment or two, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Let me tell you a little bit about the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is one of the two things God, Jesus, gave the church to remember him by. The other is baptism. The only two what are called ordinances of the church are the Lord's Supper and baptism. But both of them were to demonstrate who Jesus was and what he did. And today we're going to celebrate that. He says, as often as you do this, you're remembering me. You know who ought to take of that cup and eat of that bread? The butterflies. You see, the rest of you stay and eat leaves. But once you're born again, he died for you and you know it. And then you can show it. Stand with me. We're going to pray and then the men are going to come and lead us in the Lord's Supper. Father in heaven, I don't want to think of myself as a worm, but I sure know I was one. And I hate the thought of what I did in my life before. And oh, sometimes, God, I wish I'd go back and have made my decision for Jesus so much sooner, but I didn't. But Lord, everything's different now that I've trusted you. Lord, help us all to soar. Help us to be flying from one soul to another, giving them the good news of Jesus. Help us to pollinate the world with Jesus. And Lord, if there's one in this place that's never had that experience of turning from a worm into a butterfly, today let that be the day of salvation. For them, may it be clear enough that they say, all I have to do is know I'm a sinner, accept it, and be sorrowful, and come and turn from it and invite you to save me. Because you came to seek and save that which was lost. Lord, would you draw them to the altar? Those who are being saved and those who are being reawakened. Fill us with your Spirit today, Lord, as we get ready to take of your supper. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.